Good morning. It's good to be here with you on this beautiful spring morning. I hope you're enjoying the coming season, looking forward to the coming season. No matter what frame of mind you may have coming in to worship with us this morning, I hope that you'll just allow yourself to leave everything behind outside the doors that you came here with if you're not in the Spirit. And try to fight against any distractions that might be trying to pull you away from the Lord. Any problems that might be weighing so heavy on your heart that you don't feel like worshiping because you're struggling with your faith. Try to come in honesty before the Lord this morning and just be yourself in His presence and confess anything that you need to with Him. He already sees our hearts. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you this morning to worship and start where you are and let Him take you where He wants you to go this morning. So let's stand together and begin our time together.
Good to see you guys today. Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Yeah, amen. We're going to have some announcements, and then I'll lead us in prayer.
Good morning. In your bulletins today, you'll find we have these little handy-dandy prayer guides. So I would like for you all to take a chance this week and read this and pray about the Annie Armstrong mission offering that we take up for Easter. There's also a little handy-dandy envelope in there for you to put your offering in. So maybe next week we'll have a video that kind of tells about it and kind of remind us and encourage us to give to this offering. But please, you know, just pray about this, and if it's on your heart to give, then do so. And thanks so much.
Okay. Let's pray together, okay? Father, thank you for the opportunities of this day. And amen for Brother Matt reminding us of the things that could be on our mind that keep us from worshiping today. Just pray that those things would be driven out today. I just pray that Satan would be bound some way from our thoughts, and the Holy Spirit would have great freedom today to work on us, to shine your light in our life. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me." Lord, I pray that you turn your searchlight on us today as we worship on me, as I worship, that I'd be right with you. Thank you for the privilege of confession and forsaking our sin. Bless this service today. We pray for Brother Roger as he preaches, that your anointing would be upon him, your hand, your thoughts, and words that he speak would be your words. And then, Lord, I pray you give us listening ears. Pray for Brother Matt and this group as they lead us in worship today. Lord, give us a freedom like we've never had. Lord, we seem to be bound up some way sometimes, and I don't know if we're worried about what other people think, or I just pray, God, you give us a freedom today to worship you in spirit and truth. That it be you that we are concentrating on, not on ourselves, but on you. I pray that audience of one would be before each one of us today, and may we worship you with all of our hearts. May we, like Mary, pour out our value on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So it's March. As the first Sunday in March is the time that we recognize birthdays and anniversaries. And so if you're going to be celebrating a birthday in the month of March, would like to make your way forward, we'd like to acknowledge that and celebrate that with you. All right. Let's sing. You ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. We love you, we do. We love you, we do. We love you, God bless you. We love you, we do.
Happy birthday. If you're celebrating an anniversary, a wedding anniversary in the month of March, please make your way forward. All right, let's sing. You ready?
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. We love you, we do.
Express how many years? 40 years. Congratulations. Would you stand with us?
All the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Amen. How many of you remembered that little bridge we did, And I Shall Dwell? Remember singing that before, anybody here? I thought that would be new to a lot of you. That's disappointing. That's the way we used to always sing it. I guess I'm proving my age, huh, Lanny? He is not confined, he confounds. He will not resign, he resounds. He is not restrained, oh hear the sound. Oh hear the sound. Rocks are falling, the broken calling to the God who moves the mountains. The earth is shaking, the weary waking, to the God who moves the mountains, the God who moves the mountains. Not surprised, he surrounds. He cannot be stopped, he astounds. He is drawing near, oh hear the sound. Oh hear the sound. Rocks are falling, the broken calling to the God who moves the mountains. The God who moves the mountains, the earth is shaking, the weary waking, to the God who moves the mountains, the God who moves the mountains. You say speak, we say move, you say watch what you can do. You say trust, and then you prove. You're the God who moves the mountains, the God who moves the mountains. You say speak, and we say move. You say watch what you can do. You say trust, and then you prove. You're the God who moves the mountains, the God who moves the mountains. Rocks are falling, the broken calling to the God who moves the mountains, the God who moves the mountains. The earth is shaking, the weary waking, to the God who moves the mountains, the God who moves the mountains. Rocks are falling, the broken calling, to the God who moves the mountains, the God who moves the mountains. The earth is shaking, the weary waking, to the God who moves the mountains, the God who moves the mountains. Amen. Amen.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my home secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine.
As our men come to receive the morning offering, again, we are very thankful you're in the Lord's house with us today. And if you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. Or if you'd like to send, if you'd like to write some kind of note to me or one of the staff, I'd be okay too if you want to do that on one of those cards. One of our men will come and lead us in prayer. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your love and grace, and we especially want to thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. He came, he bled, and he died, and was resurrected. And Lord, we just thank you for the great blessing that you have given us through your Son. And now, Lord, I just want to pray for this offering. I pray for the church. I pray for those that give, and I pray, Lord, that we would continue to serve you in this place and lift up our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you and we praise you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
to. So here I am, Lord, back upon my knees. It's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. I got a problem I can't solve. I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new. And I need help, it only comes from you. It's me again, Lord. I know you might be busy in your heaven, forming worlds and hanging stars to shine. But you promised me by death that I'd receive. So here I am, Lord, asking one more time. It's me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. I've got a problem I can't solve. Well, I don't mean to worry you, but here I am. Problem I can't solve. Well, I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new, and I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord. Well, I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new.
Morning, Osage. Working? Good deal. I'm trying to put that thing on and heard that. I thought I was on Hee Haw. I tell you, good job, fellas. Some of the kids are going, what's Hee Haw? Oh, speaking of kids, I'm supposed to dismiss them. Yeah. Children's church, you are, please. Children's church, you are dismissed at this time. I just ask you forgive me if I yawn up here. I've been last two nights chasing team around. I was in Pine Bluff at 9 o'clock last night still, and had to come back. They didn't have enough motel rooms in Pine Bluff, so they sent the cheerleaders to Little Rock to stay the night. So I was escorting them. I tell you what, if you ain't ever escorted 20 cheerleaders around, that's like herding butterflies. I guarantee it. The only thing that helped is the one I usually lose. She had had surgery on her foot this week, so she was pretty slow. I could keep up with her. And that was the only thing that helped. But wanted to ask, anybody in here ever run a marathon before? I knew we was a smart church. Ron, okay. Now, I didn't say fifth Sunday dinner. All right. Now, if I ask that question, I guarantee you, boy, there'd be hands going up everywhere. You know, a marathon, that's a big race. 26.2 miles to run a marathon. I can't even imagine that. I mean, my truck doesn't get that kind of mileage. I remember one time, when I just got out of the academy, a guy I worked with had his son had that spinal bifida, I can't even say the word, But they were doing a 5K run to raise money for him. And, you know, I just came out of the academy. We had ran every day. So I felt like I was in the best shape I'd ever been in. So I said, I'll run in it. I'll do it. I'll help you raise money. And I felt pretty good. And we run down there at Harrison at the park. We started down at the soccer complex, and you took off and ran that track all the way around that lake and come up by the park, made your circle, then ran all the way back. You know, what, 3.2 miles, whatever it is. I'd never run that far before in my life. So we get there, and Holly asked me, you know, because I'm walking around. I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm sizing up the competition. She said, what do you see? I said, you see that chubby guy right over there in the bare feet? I said, I got him. People, if you see a chubby guy with bare feet, don't get in a foot race with him. I'll tell you right now, when they blowed that horn, I never seen him again. He run like a gazelle. I mean, he shot out of there. And because when I finally made it all the way around to the turnaround point, he was already going back around and went back under the bridge. I could have cut a mile off of my race and still not caught him. I never seen anybody run like him before in my life. And I asked him later on, I said, how much do you run? He said, I don't know, I run 14, 15 miles a day. And I said, and you're still chubby? And that was the first thing that came to my mind. And but, you know, as I was running that race and I come back around, and I look back, there wasn't nobody catching me. There was nobody back there. And but I got caught up with these two ladies, and I'd already made the decision I was going to shove one down if it was going to mean me coming in last when I caught up with them. And I finally passed them, and it was a dead sprint. I mean, for me to get, I saw the finish line. And, boy, it's like a new juice hit me, you know, because there was my wife looking. You know, and I'm waiting for him to blow the horn that the time limit had went off. And, but, boy, when I saw that finish line, I took off. And I didn't know if I was going to make it. I was about, you know, things were getting blurry and at this point. And, you know, but I finished strong. And, you know, it's just it's something that we're going to talk about today that, you know, if I had to label this message, I'd probably call it, he was running. And, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're a runner or not. A day's going to come when we're going to have to finish life's race. It's coming for all of us, and it's going to be how we finish. We're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and going to be reading verses 6 through 8. If you don't care to turn there, and when you found it, if you would, enable, please stand. Get in verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. You may be seated. Because here we are reading that finish is near for Paul. When Paul wrote this, he wrote it, you know, in less than a few hundred words here. He shares with us the hardship of the present the heartbreak of his past, and the hope he holds in the future. He looks around, he looks back, and then he looks ahead. With the finish line in sight, he picks up the pace. Paul here sums up his dynamic life and hope in death. And I'm hoping that the lessons that we can learn today hopefully encourage us to finish strong. Because at this point, Paul's in prison when he writes this to the young Timothy. And, you know, we figure out, you know, he's waiting for his decree from the Roman emperor, I can't even say the word, Nero. And for 30 years, Paul's been traveling the Mediterranean world, preaching the gospel. And he's this time, you know, he'd been hated, he'd been helped, he'd been assisted, he'd been attacked, blessed, and cursed. You know, in Paul's life, it certainly wasn't dull. And now he was enduring prison imprisonment and waiting for his execution. You know, if we look in verse 6, Paul says that he's seeing himself as a drink offering about to be poured out. What is he saying here? That he's going to be, he's a drink offering. That's how he sees himself. And in that time, Roman banquets, they would commonly end with a particular ritual where they would take a cup of wine and they would pour it out in honor of their gods at that time. And that was how they would end the party, you know, how they'd end the banquet. They would pour it out. So Paul is borrowing this image and saying that, you know, he's poured himself out for the Lord Jesus. You know, if you looked in Romans 12, it says that all life is to be regarded as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So what Paul is saying to the Roman authorities is, you're not going to take my life, rather I will die living my life. Giving my life for the Lord, I have been a living sacrifice, serving Him since the day I was saved. Now I will complete that sacrifice by laying down my life for the one who gave his life for me. And then second part of that sixth verse, you see that he says that it's come time for my departure. You know, we look at the word departure, you know, there's kind of a couple meanings for that word. One being to hoist out, to set up, set anchor, pull up anchor, set sail. That was the, you know, one of the meanings of departure at that time. And Paul saw death as an opportunity to set sail into eternity. Another meaning for the word refers to striking or taking down a tent. Paul longed to be freed from his battered and broken body, his earthly tent. Now shackled in prison, he anticipates his death as a change of place and a journey home. As he told the Philippian Christians, to live is Christ, to die is gain. In verse 7, Paul looks back at his life. For 30 years, he's been faithfully serving the Lord. I have fought the good fight. Now, when you hear the word fight, you know, that's, we think of a sports activity, boxing. Just, you know, I'm not going to ask how many he's been in a fight, and I'm sure most of them raise your hand. But, you know, the phrase fight carries a much broader meaning than we associate with these things. The word back then was also said as agon. A-G-O-N is how it was the word that they used, and it's where we get our English word of agony. All right. And what it is it pictures an athlete coming off the field, having given it his all and his best. Paul is saying he has given his all for Christ when he says he fought the good fight. So he's being drug off the field. He's given all he's given. I think of the show. I think we watched it here once. I don't remember the Titans almost facing the Giants. Whenever the young man got to the, they're in the state. He comes off. He says, "Coach, I don't have any more left." He says, "One more down. I need you for one more down." When he goes back out there and they win, he left it all on the field. And that's what Paul is saying here. In this race that we are running in life every day, that we got to leave it all out there, all on the field. I remember I talked about going through the academy, another race that we run, they divided us up in teams of 10. And you had to line up in single file. And when they blowed the whistle, you took off in single file, jogging. We had to go for 2 miles. I'd never run 2 miles in my life and not stopped. I ain't going to lie. And when I started, I said, "There is no way I can finish this. I'm never going to be able to do it." Because when they took off, you had to keep jogging in a line with your team. And whoever was in the back had to sprint to the front while you were jogging. And then once they got to the front, the person in the back took off sprinting to the front. And you had to keep doing this. And your team couldn't go on if you stopped. You quit, they had to stay at your pace. If you stopped and walked, and they would encourage you and drag you along, and I remember going around there, first few sprints, I was like, "Oh yeah, it's kind of like now, I'm good out of the gate, but I'm just not much on stamina." Unfortunately, that's how a lot of us are in life, in our Christian life as well. We go get it, we get hear the word, we go to camp, whatever it is, we get all fired up. We're out of the gate. Then this long race gets the better of us. And I remember running around there, and I'd made about my second or third sprint, and I was getting tunnel vision and not a lot of oxygen, but my team kept encouraging me. The people I was with kept encouraging me. The people I was with kept encouraging me. All right? Amen. You're with them every day. And we kept running. We kept running. And finally we got around that last lap. And I remember we had a young lady. Well, let me take that back. She was a young lady. She was my age. But he was struggling, and she sounded like a pack of coyotes when she came to me, and she was struggling, and I remember looking at me, and she looked me square in the eye, and she says, "I'm not going to make it." I said, "Oh, yes, you are. We are going to make it," and boy, she just took off. We made it to the end, and we collapsed. It was just overwhelmed. We finished the race strong because they run with each other and they encouraged each other. That's what we're to do as a church every day. And we got to encourage each other to keep running the race, because so many people fall out of the race. We got to learn it's not a sprint, marathon. And like I said, I've never run a marathon, but you got to pace yourself. You've got to stay focused. I ain't gonna lie, that's something very, very hard for me sometimes to stay focused. There was some, even in Sunday school this morning, there were some things that were said that convicted me. You know, that some changes that I've got to make, some things that I'm going to cancel out and stop watching, stop looking at, whatever it is, and it's just, we've got to make changes. We've got to lift each other up. We've got to encourage each other. And, and that's what, we got to keep fighting. That's what Paul is telling us, that we've got to leave it all out there. You see, it's easy to begin a race. And it's even easy to run hard for a while. But it's harder to finish a distance race. And it's even harder to finish strong. So Paul is trying to tell Timothy and us that Christians' life is not a sprint, but a long-distance race. So Paul is able to look back and say, I have run the race to the finish. In this passage, the word race, the Greek word for that is dromen. What that means is history tells us in the year 490 B.C., there was a Greek dromen, a runner messenger is what they were called, by the name of Phida Fides. Believe me, that is not how it's spelled. All right. He was dispatched as a Greek general to inform the citizens of Athens that the Persians had been defeated at the Battle of Marathon. Old Phida is what I call him, supposedly ran a route that took him south along the coast and up across a series of coastal foothills before descending into Athens. They said the distance of this was approximately 26 miles from the plains of Marathon. As he arrived in Athens, he finally got there after running 26 miles, and he runs in and announced, "Rejoice, rejoice, we have conquered." Then he died right there. That he collapsed and died right there. And in 1896 at the Olympic Games in Greece, it initiated the marathon of 26.2 miles in honor of Phida Fides. So that is where your marathon eventually came from. You know, some people say the marathon is an ultimate challenge around. They say it is like climbing Mount Everest in a city near you. Yeah, 26 miles. I guess that'd be what, running here to Alpena and back, pretty much. That'd be quite a run. I mean, I used to think when Fry's ran from here to the house, it was crazy. But I remember Aubrey just packing up and just I said, "Where are you going?" "I'm gonna run home." "Yeah, okay." Never understood that, but maybe why she's in better shape than I am now. There has been some great marathon runners in the past 20 years. How fast do you reckon the fastest time is to run a marathon? How much? You're really close. The official, when I say official, marathon time was just over 2 hours for 26 miles. I mean, there was one guy who ran it in 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 46 seconds, but it was not an official marathon, so they didn't count the time. I might give it to him. I mean, any man that can do that. I mean, that is keeping up with that's a 4-minute mile just about each time. And I tell you his name, but I couldn't pronounce it. So he wasn't from America. I'll put it that way. So, that's running very hard. But even though they can run it in that time, there's been more people who started a marathon that never finished. And Paul never did that. He finished the race. He stayed the course. He saw his own life as this Roman, as a long-distance runner and messenger of his Lord. Paul goes on to say, I have kept the faith. If we look at this statement in the context of the games, Paul is saying he run the race according to the rules. You know, the Greek and Roman athletes, they used to take a solemn oath before each game, saying that they would compete honestly and honorably in the games. Here Paul is affirming that his vows have been kept. And who were these vows made to? His Lord, Jesus Christ. Even though the long, difficult, demanding race, he kept Christ in his heart and mind. I mean, you know, if we got made fun of every time we shared the word, we got slapped on, beat on, thrown in jail, you continue? Continue to run that race? I think it's coming. We're going to have to make that decision if we're going to keep running or we want to step out of the race. And, I pray that everybody keeps running. So in verse 6, we've seen the present hardships. In verse 7, we look back at his life. Now if we look in verse 8, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You know, in the Olympic Games, at that time, whenever they'd win, they would be given a wreath or a garland made out of oak leaves and placed on their head. Now, at that time, such a crown was, you know, that was the highest, greatest honor you could get, was to get that wreath placed on your head. And, you know, now, you know, even those, that day, them wreaths, they withered in a few days. They were gone. Now they tried to replace it with gold and bronze and silver medals. Can you take that with you? That's going to wither away. Now, it's just something that there's a greater crown coming. And Paul knows that there's a crown for him that would never fade. And this crown of righteousness is God's reward for those who are faithful and obedient to his Son. Paul knows the judgment is about to receive. He knows about the judgment he's about to receive from the Roman government. But what he longs to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Paul is telling the young Timothy not only does his crown await him, but to Timothy and all others who trust, serve, and live for Christ. You too can get that crown. So I want you to consider your own life. Do you have this same kind of hope and assurance? Whether your race has just begun, whether your race is somewhere in the middle, you know, if you're at the midpoint, some of them's got to be honest, you're nearing the end of your race. It's going to happen. And none of us know where that finish line is at. So you can have the peace of God in your life, and you can be at peace with God. All you got to do is do what Paul did. Confessed his sins and admitted his need for God's forgiveness. He accepted God's love, accepted God's Son, Jesus as the Savior. Only with the Lord you will be able to run life's race to the very best of your ability. And only with the Lord will you be able to finish strong. So as you run, and I run, the race set before us today and tomorrow, I want you to take time to reflect on your running. Where are you at? Staying focused? Are you running your race? Are you sitting down? Take a look at your race. And remember Paul's words to Timothy. Realize that with the Lord, you too can fight the fight, run the race, and keep the faith. With the Lord, you run well and finish strong.
All right.
If I said we were just going to go out and run a marathon today, I'd be lucky to make it out here to the road sign. If you were told you had to run a race, what would you do? Would you start training? Start eating better? Start exercising? We are running a race every day. How do you exercise? How do you get prepared? There's an exercise manual. There's all you need. It's something that we've got to lift each other up. We've got to encourage each other. We've got to stay focused. Fill ourselves with God's Word. Running a race. You all going to finish at the same time? No, not unless Jesus comes back. We're going to finish at different times. We're going to run at a little different speeds. We're going to come across different challenges. We're going to hit different bumps in the road. We're going to maybe even injure ourselves, twist an ankle. We're going to run into all these things running our race. We're going to get laughed at, spit at, yelled at, made fun of. All these things. I tried to explain it one time to some of the teenagers that just imagine that you're running this race out here on the highway. All right? It tells us in the Word that the path to heaven is narrow. That of the world is wide. So just picture yourself running. You've got to stay in between the yellow lines, right in the middle. Because it's narrow. Everybody else is running the opposite way. What's going to happen? They're going to bump into you. They're going to distract you. They're going to be in your way. We got to stay focused, running a race. I find myself when I was running, I couldn't look around. For one thing, my wife says I run like I drive. I go where I look, and so I'd have to just stay focused to where I was going. I'd catch myself just looking at my feet when I ran, not looking forward. I'd find out when I looked down running, that automatically starts cutting off oxygen and everything else when you're looking down running, and then I'd like, okay, I can't do this. And then then you'd look up and you could stay focused, see where you're going. Get to looking around, you get distracted. You find pretty things that distract you. Shiny objects that distract you. It's just things that, So if we got the one behind us, keep going.
We got you. Got that shoulder, hand on your shoulder. Just keep going. We got it.
Then you have the stronger ones, good runners that are in front, breaking the wind, leading you, guiding you. And you see the finish line. Cross there at that finish line. There, the heavenly gates. It's worth it. There's a crown that you cannot resist. Just don't get distracted with everything beside you. And we need to run together as a church. We need to get other people involved in this race. To help other people get into this race. Guide and direct them. That's what we're here to do. So, Brother Matt, you care to? Now, so I'm just going to ask where you're at in your race. Did you start out good? And you've kind of hit a bump? Something's got you distracted? You ain't been running at all? You sat down? Maybe you're at your midpoint. You're a little winded. You're tired. You don't want to do it anymore, but you know you should. Maybe you're close to the finish line and finish strong. Maybe some of you ain't even started to race. Now's the opportunity. So I have some couples that are going to come up. I just want, you feel a need, come up and talk with one of these couples and just say, I'm not where I need to be. You just feel like coming up here and just praying here at this altar. Somebody will join you and pray with you, encourage you, help you run this race. We're all in it together. Got to be there for each other. As we sing, you make that choice.
Let's stand together.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.
You know, I can't help but this many people in here, somebody needs to come do business with the Lord. I don't know who it is. I'm going to pray for you right now. Praise Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Coming to your house today, Lord. Lord, I don't know who you're putting on my heart right now, but there's somebody here. Not been running the race correctly. Maybe, Lord, they've stopped. Lord, I want to pray for that person right now. Lord, that you'll give them the courage to keep running, to find ones to run with. And keep fighting. Lord, I just want to encourage everyone here today, Lord, that keep fighting, to keep running, Lord, to stay focused on you. Lord, that we know that you are worth running for. Lord, that we cannot properly finish this race without you in our lives. I just want to ask you to give this person encouragement,
give them strength, or to just come and speak to somebody, Lord, or just to cry out to you. Just thank you for this day. We come into your house, Lord, and serve you. We thank you for the honor to be able to serve you. Lord, as we sang that song earlier, we thank you for your amazing grace. Our chains can be gone to where we can run freely. I ask you to be with each family as they're represented here today, and Lord, that you just be with them today, guide and direct them, Lord, bring them back safely. All this in Jesus' precious name. And you're dismissed.